It does seem a little strange to be in this sanctuary accompanied by dogs and cats, perhaps a gerbil or two, a goldfish maybe. Come on now. Tell me what you really think. Isn't this whole blessing of animals just over the top? I mean, really, when you stop and think about the serious concerns in our world today that are just crying out for our attention and our prayers, the potential for an Ebola crisis that could be a worldwide epidemic, there is unrest around the world. In fact, it might be actually easier to say where there isn't unrest. But we know it spreads from Hong Kong to Kiev, from Ferguson, Missouri to Syria. And then there is the religious extremism. The religious extremism that our national news can't wait to show us. Every evening, another black-hooded executioner killing innocents. And what about the civil war in our own country? The civil war about immigrants at our borders. Politicians on both sides of the aisle, they treat the lives of children like a political football, something to kick around to score points for, children whose lives are totally ruptured. How fearful and frightening it must be for them and their parents and their loved ones. Where in the world is Francis now? But we have other matters to attend to this morning. We have the blessing of animals. Several years ago, when we still had a cat, some of you remember Dude, our cat. Dude came for, I think, 14 years of getting blessings here. Dude is now with Cat Heaven. But I remember a few years ago calling our veterinarian, needed some advice. Dude was not feeling well. And I remember being put on hold, but it wasn't terribly disappointing. I was listening to Bach, Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, and I was just sitting there taking it in when suddenly there became this voice online. It said, a few years ago, the idea of putting braces on your dog's teeth would have seemed possible only in the movies. Now, it is highly unlikely that your dog won't need braces, but annual, regular dental checkups will ensure that your dog's teeth remain healthy for years. Okay, that's it. That is really over the top, isn't it? Braces for your dog? We Americans love our pets. Millions and millions of Americans have pets, and we spend billions and billions of dollars on our pets. And why not? Let us not forget that from the very beginning, God blessed the animals. Right after the animals were created, God led them before Adam and said, "Name them and bless them." And Adam did. And when 40 days and 40 nights of rain came, animals were spared two by two in Noah's ark. We aren't the only ones who have a love affair with pets. So did our Creator God. We love our pets. Studies have shown that many people relate better to animals and pets than they do to living and breathing humans. Several of the nursing homes I go to see some of our members have what's known as pet therapy. Here is where people bring in their pets, and the residents of the nursing home hold them and hug them, kiss them and feed them, and that brings a great joy to their lives. And anyone who has ever owned a pet knows the deep level of affection that exists between a pet and the pet owner. And without overemphasizing the point, the idea of taking care of a pet, being responsible for the pet, feeding it, grooming it, giving it medical attention when needed, and whatever else is part of our stewardship, we employ the fulfilling of a command that was given to us by God to take care of the earth and all its living things. So it shouldn't surprise us this morning that the Church of Jesus Christ sets aside a year, one day when our dogma gives way to dogs, when we are all asked to take pause and reflect on the command of our Creator to care for all the earth and for all living things. The animals come for the blessing, but of course, we are the ones who are blessed. Blessed by the joy and comfort, the love, and perhaps with the one exception of cats, unconditional love. Think about what your pet does. They teach us how to love unconditionally. Pets forgive us again and again and again. They spend hours listening to us complain and whine and groan about how unfair our lives are, how we are scared for our children and our grandchildren, how that bump under the arm feels awfully weird and won't go away. Our pets are so much more patient with us than we are with them or ourselves. They are the ones that come to get blessed, but we, their owners, are the ones who are truly blessed. God reminds us through our pets to be caring, and that caring extends beyond our family, beyond our neighborhood, beyond our community, and beyond this community of faith. For in God's view, all creation, all living things, are holy and sacred, so holy and sacred that they are worth redeeming at the highest price. We have an obligation to care for this earth. It is a sacred trust. It is a sacred trust with our Creator and our Redeemer God to care for one another. Can you care for others? All others be less than our care for our love of pets. Francis, to whom this day is given over, was as gentle as a dove and as wise as a serpent. Many of you are familiar with the stories of Francis preaching to the birds, or converting a wolf in the town of Gubbio to Christianity so that it wouldn't destroy the villagers. These are stories that we all know well. But Francis was really working on something else. In all of these small, little Italian villages, hill towns, Assisi, Montepulciano, Monticino, Siena, in all of these little hill towns, wars were going on between towns, especially between Perugia and Assisi. But more than just the wars between these cities, there was also the banishment of people who were different. People who had some kind of disease, perhaps leprosy. People who, because of whatever, looked hideous. People who had committed a public sin, they were banished into the wilderness, into the forest. Parents warned their children, don't go there. They had a name for these people. It was called bugaboos. Francis went out to preach to the birds. But the birds were not his audience. His audience were the people in town who heard that there was this crazy, whacked out monk who was going around preaching to birds, converting wolves to Christianity. And so people went out to see that. What a spectacle. Martha, you want to get a lunch and go out and see that nut out there who preaches to the birds? Sure, why not? Francis brought people to the forest. Francis brought people to the wilderness, where those who were the outcasts, those who were different, those that we did not want to look at, that they might receive the care and the compassion and the mercy of others. Where in the world is Francis today? I'm guessing that Francis would be at our southernmost border. the border between Mexico and the United States. I suspect Francis would be there, preaching to the birds and perhaps blessing coyotes or wolves or whatever. I'm guessing Francis would be there because Francis would want us to see the faces of those so desperate to have a life that they are willing to risk their life and the lives of their children to get them here. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you are on, nor do I think for a moment that Francis had any political agenda. I think the only agenda that Francis had, and the only thing that makes Francis important, is that he brought the community, the church, the village, to the forest to care for those who had been outcast, who had so little. This is why we commemorate the saintly Francis, not because he blessed animals, but he leads us out into the wilderness to see the face of those that need to be invited back in. That, to me, does not seem over the top when we understand what this day about blessing animals is truly about. In the waters of holy baptism, God made us his own, came to us while we were far off, living in a far country, a wilderness of our own making, the wilderness of sin. God came out to us, not as Francis, but as the Son, Jesus, with an offer to heal us and to love us unconditionally. And when we come to our end, to take us to God. This promise we are reminded of every time we come to this table. Every time we receive Christ's body and blood, we're reminded of the promises that God has made to us, that God has come to us in our wilderness of sin and invited us into the communion. This is exactly what our Creator, our Redeemer and Sustainer has done for Lelena. For Lelena today in the waters of holy baptism, she has no way to make her own confession of faith. She understands nothing or comprehends nothing about what has happened to her just now. God has come to her, and God has made her God's own beloved child. She's going to have to take that on faith, no better than faith. She's going to have to take that on your promise, on you telling her that. Joe and Leah, you've got to tell her that. And Tony and Randall, you've got to tell her that. And you, the people of Queen Anne Lutheran Church, this community of faith, you just made a promise. You just made a promise to tell her that. That she's a child of God. Because we all know that there are those moments in our lives when we don't feel like a child of God, when we don't feel like any child. And it is at those very moments that we need to know that God's love, grace, and mercy comes to us in whatever wilderness we have gotten ourselves into and beckons us to come out of the wilderness into the table and to the font, and to hear again those promises. I don't know where you're going to go this week, but I know where some people are going to go. I know of some mothers who are homeless with children. They're going to be right downstairs, right underneath you in the fellowship hall for 2 weeks. They'll be living in tents. And the Francises of this congregation and our community, Queen Anne, will go to them with food. We'll go to them to share with them their own lives and their own stories. And for 2 weeks, they will be safe and they will be warm. And they will be part of a community as we will be part of theirs. Where in the world is Francis? Oh, Francis is all over. From our southernmost border to our fellowship hall at Queen Anne Lutheran, beckoning us to come and to serve what we ourselves have already received in the waters of baptism and in the promise of Christ's body and blood. the very gift of Jesus. His body, his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.